listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, your conversation station, or you're streaming live on excellentcultures.com right now, or you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Either way, we're glad to have you on the show with us today. Well, you're not on the show. We're on the show, and we've got a great guest. Steve, how's it going?
It's going outstanding, Zach.
Outstanding.
It's going outstanding.
Summer has hit Seattle.
Summer has hit. The sunshine is out, and everyone in Seattle, those of you who are listening to us from the really warm and balmy places on the planet, you need to know in Seattle when it turns 60 degrees, people put on tank tops and shorts and go outside.
Oh, 60 degrees, 55.
55 degrees. 55
there's
degrees.
People sunbathing at 55 degrees in Seattle. At least in my neighborhood there is. The park is full of people sunbathing at 55 degrees. So anything new going on in our culture clientele recently, Steve?
Really busy, you know, doing a huge project now for the national marketing department at Toyota, working on a lot of, great, large companies and then some excellent local mid-market companies that are looking to raise the bar. Interesting, most of the folks we end up talking to don't have culture problems. They have a great culture, and they're looking for ways to raise the bar and take it to the next level. So life is busy.
Yep, that's a bit of our sweet spot clientele. We like those folks that want to go to the next level, yeah?
Oh, they get it.
Yeah.
They get it. Our guest today, I'll introduce her in a second. Sheila Andreen is the CEO of IndieFlix.
You're introducing her now.
I want to talk about her a little bit.
Yeah. I have her on mute, so yeah. she can't.
She can't talk.
she can't talk until we actually
let you out of the box here in a second. Anyway, wonderful guest today. I first heard Sheila talk about her firm, IndieFlix, in the context of values. Anytime I hear a leader talk about values, it really gets my attention. And Sheila, you'll find out, comes from a background of, Hollywood movie production and has been a producer, director, a wonderful costume designer, done all kinds of wonderful things in the film industry.
For some of my favorite shows in the past.
Yeah.
Growing up, Party of Five was a favorite of both my wife and I. And The Wonder Years, if you've ever seen that show, she definitely won awards for costume design for The Wonder Years. Anytime you can dress vintage in Seattle now is the way to go.
Yeah, it certainly is. Anyway, when I heard Sheila talking about the culture of her firm being based on the values of community and transparency and how when she first shared those with her pals in Hollywood, they kind of laughed her out of town, so she came to Seattle and made it happen, I said, wow, this is someone we need to have on the show because she's a good guy.
And, yeah.
A good gal. We help the good guys win on Biz Culture Matters. That's what our theme is all about. And Sheila is really making it happen, and we want her to tell us it. Sheila, tell us, give us some background on yourself, and tell us about IndieFlix and about the great new film that you guys are launching on Mother's Day.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. And I'm Sheila Andreen, the CEO and co-founder of IndieFlix. I'm also a filmmaker, and that's where I got my start. I know you talked about some of my work in television. I've also made quite a few features and a short film. My first short film, actually, I did when I was 9 months plus pregnant.
Wow.
And I was supposed to direct it, but I ended up producing it, and it actually got Oscar consideration.
So did you deliver? So, you delivered your son on the set?
Well, almost. But, no, I don't even have pictures anymore of that. Of that shoot because I was just as big as that. But that really, I didn't go to school to learn filmmaking. I actually was at NYU studying political science to be a litigator, fell in love with the director and ended up leaving school and started working in film and just found that it was my niche. It was what I was meant to do. And in this process, I went to film festivals with my movies and we won awards and got standing ovation and reviews, as did so many other films. And then when the offers came in to get distribution for our films, I realized that they were terrible offers. And so my producing partner, Carlos Canduzzi, who's also a local here in Seattle, he and I decided to take our movie, and instead of going the standard distribution route, we created a distribution company/marketplace that we wish existed. Because it did not exist. And so basically what IndieFlix now is the Netflix of independent film. That's kind of the easiest way to say it. But there are differences. The way we pay our filmmakers is through this unique royalty payment system called RPM, the RPM model. I just made it up, not just on this call, but like a year ago. And it's basically royalty pool minutes. And since we are now a subscriber-based business, it's $6.99 a month to watch everything, all movies on any platform, or $69 a year. You can watch movies, shorts, features, documentaries from film festivals around the world. And we have some amazing content.
Wow.
So now we basically pay the filmmaker by the minute.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
So filmmakers are finally making money, and there's not a bunch of middlemen in between to take all the money so that there's nothing left for the filmmaker.
So you founded this firm to help the filmmakers be successful and make a buck rather than build a large coffer of money for IndieFlex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? It's because those are my roots. I am a filmmaker. And I started the company with Carlo because the deals that were out there were awful. I mean, it was just, you know, now even today, I mean, it's starting to shift. Is if someone says, oh, I want to grow up and be a filmmaker, the first thing people do, they look at that person crooked and they say, well, how will you feed your family? What else will you do?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, oh, I want to be an actor. I want to be a musician. Well, what's your day job going to be? And I want to change that because film is the most powerful medium on the planet, that and music. But film watched, especially in a group or just in masses, can change the world, can bring us closer together, can raise consciousness and awareness, and it can heal. And I've witnessed it even with this movie that we're releasing called Finding Kind. We've only released it in schools in the last 18 months, played over 600 schools, a little tiny movie about girl bullying. And it is a really sort of provocative look at girl bullying throughout North America and basically throughout the world. Wherever there are like two or more women, three or more women, there are, you know, girls more so than boys.
Really?
But it also exists with boys, too. And this is a really, you know, hot topic. And it's got to stop. It's really out of control. And I have to tell you that, I mean, I think therapy's great and the community and all that stuff. We have to have it. But this movie introduces a solution to girl bullying, and that is kindness.
Yeah.
And then we take it for granted. We think it's taught in the home and in our schools and in our community. But it's just so taken. It's so, we think it's such a natural thing, and yet we don't really address it. It's just so easy to be kind.
So how do we watch the film, Sheila?
The film has never been available online, and I have to tell you, the appetite for it is tremendous. We feel called every day to be able to watch the film as an individual, but we've only done school screenings because we wanted people to see it in a group. But for Mother's Day, the filmmakers and IndieFlix decided that we should let this film be available to sort of get more exposure and just to answer the demand to be able to see it.
So we can watch it on IndieFlix Mother's Day?
Starting on Mother's Day, this Friday, actually.
Wow, Friday, the weekend.
Tomorrow.
For 2 weeks, you can watch it online through IndieFlix only, online, handheld. And if you have an Xbox or Roku, you can watch it on there as well.
Yeah, and most of our listeners are going to be listening to this show, just after Mother's Day. So will it be on for the week, Sheila?
It's on for 2 weeks, actually.
Okay, wonderful.
And
perfect.
I suggest that you, if you have a mother, a sister, a daughter, or a friend, a girlfriend, or if you know a girl, you should watch this movie. That's how important it is. It is a change agent. It's a seven, you know, you don't have to watch all the credits, but if you watch the 72 minutes, you feel different afterwards and you actually can go out and make a difference.
Wow.
You can make a difference within 2 seconds. You don't have to go raise money. You don't have to start a foundation. You don't have to start a group or a club or print up anything. It's an instant change.
And the name of the film is called Finding Kind?
Finding Kind, and the filmmakers are, the director is Lauren Parsikian. And the producer is Molly Thompson. And a little bit of trivia, Lauren Parsikian is the fiancée to Aaron Paul, who plays Jesse, one of the leads in Breaking Bad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they're actually getting married.
That's a favorite show of mine, actually.
Yeah.
So,
that's...
you know how good Aaron Paul is.
Yeah, he's great.
Aaron is a huge advocate, and he also will be promoting the film online. And I just think it's so great of the girls. You know, their tour is filling up again for fall, and they just continue to be on the road, actually getting ready to, you know, they're wanting to work on follow-up projects to go even deeper on this issue. But the support around this film is unbelievable. And it's just a tiny little peer-to-peer film that they made because they, too, were bullied. And if you were to see them, they are such beautiful young women, you would think, oh, my God, they're so nice, they're so beautiful, there's no way they got bullied.
Wow.
Well, they did.
Wow.
To the point of, you know, where Lauren actually thought about ending her life.
Really?
So,
really?
Yeah, it's just, we just never know when we're hurting someone. I mean, you'd think we would, but we need a little reminder. And you know what? In 72 minutes, it's powerful, and it is transformative.
So indieflix.com, $6.99 a month. Well, it's worth $6.99 just to see this film the way you described it.
Plus, oh, it really is. And plus, you can watch, you know, thousands of other films on there, and we'll be making recommendations for other family films and films regarding bullying at the same time. But you also, I mean, not that I want to be promoting this, but you can also watch it and cancel.
Yeah,
that's true.
And, yeah, we wondered what you were going to say when you went with the not that I want to be promoting this line.
Well,
but, I mean, who's going to cancel if they get great content like you just described to us?
Well, and that's the whole thing is that, you know, watch it and, you know, if you let it ride even for 1 month, the nice thing is 30% of all that money goes into the pool to the filmmakers. And right now the girls are using it to create kind kits to distribute throughout the schools across North America so that they can start kind clubs and, you know, really take it further so that it's an ongoing change that's nurtured and evolving.
This is awesome. We're going to go into our first break. You are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180. We have 1180 AM. We have Sheila Andreen from IndieFlix. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM on podcast and streaming on the internet. Our guest today, Sheila Andreen from IndieFlix. Man, and findingkind.com is where people can go ahead and watch the trailer right now. Is that correct?
Yep.
You can
they
do
can
it right
now. They can also go to IndieFlix and just look up Finding Kind and see it there too.
Oh, yep. Wonderful.
And they can, if they want to join, they can add it to their queue and it will be there when they want to, starting tomorrow.
Sheila, it's interesting to me that, I don't know, I'm 36 years old, so depending on generations, like, to me it seems like documentaries are picking up more steam now than ever.
You know, they really are. It's kind of interesting. Even I, in the film business, at my age, find that documentaries are becoming one of my most, like, that's what I want to see. In fact, is one of my most favorite documentaries of all time, other than Finding Kind, and Living on $1, which is the newest film we just picked up, which puts a face on extreme poverty.
Awesome.
And also creates a solution to help where we can all help people out of, you know, take the first steps to get out of that. And that's just a phenomenal movie, and that's The Boys. But the one that won the Academy Award this year, which was Searching for Sugar Man, I don't know if you know about it, but it's about the artist Rodriguez, the singer.
No, I haven't.
And I have to tell you that I watch documentaries, and they are life-changing for me. And they are, those stories are better than any Hollywood story you could ever dream up.
Yep.
It's pretty unbelievable how incredible real life is.
Well, I got to be honest, after watching Super Size Me, I didn't eat McDonald's for like 3 years.
Oh, isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
That is the power of film.
It really is. And, I mean, documentaries are picking up steam. I don't know if it's because of reality TV or the ability to stream, but they're picking up steam.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's an excellent observation. I think you're spot on with that. I think with the popularity of reality TV, we've proven that users don't, I mean, the audience doesn't need to have a famous name in it to watch it.
Yeah.
They need it. What they want is a great story. It's
absolutely
all about a great story. In fact, I'm on the board of the film school, which Tom Skerritt is one of the founders of the school. And he, you know, we sit there and talk for hours. In fact, I think we ad nauseum to others, of course, not to us, but about how important good story is.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about
documentaries.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about documentaries is that the watcher becomes part of the story. I mean, it's
they really
like
do, and especially what's really interesting, like Finding Kind is a documentary where the documentarians, the filmmakers themselves, have inserted themselves into the story, so they are part of the story.
Wow.
You know, the gentleman from Detroit, he's the famous, I'm blanking on his name, and I know his name really well.
It'll come back to you.
It'll come back to me. He did, anyway. He is also putting himself in there. He's got even a film festival. And he's a famous name, won Oscars, and I'm totally blanking on his name. Michael Moore. Michael Moore inserts himself into the documentary. You know, a lot of documentaries in the beginning, it was the filmmaker was invisible. We were just observing, you know, from the outside on this life. Now we are immersed in it.
Right.
And it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. I love it.
So, Sheila, tell us a little bit about your business, about Indie Flicks, and why, you know, we know that you started it out of your passion for getting the filmmakers, you know, an honest break to not just starve to death while they were enjoying, you know, sharing their talents with others. Tell us a little bit about the history, why you founded the firm, you know, why these values of community and transparency, how you felt when you know, were laughed out of Hollywood for having wholesome values. Give us a little background.
It's funny. You learn about yourself, right, as you grow up. You learn what your constitution is and what you're made of with all the different events and things that happen in our lives. And when I got into Hollywood and I started working with big producers and studios, especially as a costume designer, I was always really nice. And I remember a producer said to me once, if you want to be really successful, you've got to be, I won't say what he said I need to be. But
we don't have a bleep button. So.
Oh, right. He said, you know, you got to be, you know, that. And I said, I guess I will either never be successful or, you know, I need to change that.
Yeah.
And all it did was make me feel more passionate about being who I am. When you start to feel like such an outsider that you're never going to fit in, I'm not going to sell my soul to fit in if it doesn't make sense to me. I created IndieFlix because I didn't understand distribution. The math didn't add up. I went to my friends at Focus and Searchlight, and I said, look, I've got this great deal. I made a movie for $750,000. They're offering us $100,000 advance. It's going to cost $80,000 to deliver. They're going to own it for 20 years. They could change the title. They might not release it. There's no cap on expenses. Oh, and I have to pay $3,500 to get accurate reporting, and I might see some money in about 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And I just thought, how am I going to pay back my investors? How do I look them in the eye? And part of me realized I was really stupid for going this far and not really understanding distribution. I thought it was as hard, you know, same sort of deal as licensing music and working with SAG and the DGA and getting my actors on board and raising the money for the film. This is a whole other ball of wax. And after doing the research and meeting with people at the tippy top, you know, the people who, like, make the rules, they were like, this is a great offer, and you should be so grateful for the exposure. I mean, right now, you should just be grateful anyone wants to see your movie. And I just thought, that's not enough. I mean, in the beginning, I bought it. I thought, oh, okay, well, thank you. I mean, you're the knowledgeable one. You're the one sitting, you know, in the big expensive office here at Universal.
Sure.
And I like you, and I trust you. And at first I started to believe it. And as I talked to more people, and I sort of just parroted the same thing, I thought, either I'm really stupid and I don't get it. I don't understand how the math works out where I'm going to pay back my investors. I can't even get a percentage. It was just high, high risk. So Carlo and I literally made a list on a piece of paper. We were sitting on the curb of a producer's rep outside of his house in Santa Monica because it was so depressing. That we wrote this list of how we were going to start a company that we thought, we have no option, so let's just create something that we want. And that's exactly what we did. And I thought, this is awesome. Will be transparent. It'll be non-exclusive. Filmmakers will get the lion's share. There won't be a lot of middlemen. And because of the way technology is going, filmmakers can help market their films because they're so passionate and good about it. Let's keep that passion going.
Right.
And we thought, here we go. Well, I have to tell you, big learning experience. And I've learned so much over the years. I went to all my filmmaker friends. I said, okay, now we have a marketplace. You can distribute your films. It's been sitting on a shelf for 2 years. And you get to make money and all this stuff, and they were just like, I don't know. and so I was so unprepared for the filmmaker mentality. I hadn't even thought about that. We are a damaged bunch. It's like having a significant other that beats you, and then you meet someone who doesn't beat you, you think it's too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized I had to convince them, but only time would really help prove that. And those brave enough to try it. So where I thought I was going to launch with 100 titles, we launched with 36. And part of the success of our launch was I was at a film festival back east, and I wanted to give a little cash prize to a filmmaker, the Audience Award-winning filmmaker, at a little festival called Stony Brook. It was sort of the next one up in the calendar before we wanted to launch. There was a lot of senior citizens there, and there was this buffet line, and it was really long, and it was moving really slow, and I was in line to get some food, and the guy next to me, I think we were in line for 45 minutes to get food, and he asked me what I did. I tried to explain it to him, and he goes, wait a minute, it's non-exclusive. Filmmakers keep their rights. They get 70% of the revenue. You help them market. It costs them nothing to go up on your site. And you're going to market them all over the world and ship DVDs. We were doing DVDs at the time because this is 2005.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And he said, that's ridiculous. Like, but because we were in line for 45 minutes, he had to keep listening to me talk.
You got more than an elevator speech.
He crossed over. He became so passionate. He pitched his editor. Turns out he was a journalist. And we got a two-page New York Times Sunday Arts and Leisure section write-up on IndieFlix and our story and why we did this. And it catapulted us onto the radar with our 36 little films. And, I mean, even AOL called, and they said, oh, AOL's on the phone. I'm like, oh, hi. And they're like, you know, and I'm like, God, I just canceled my AOL email account. And it's like cobwebs. Like, I cannot get rid of them. And this is ridiculous. And finally, the guy said, no, it's AOL Ventures. We're wondering if you're looking for capital. And I was just like, oh. Like, I thought you were trying to make me keep my email.
I thought you wanted me to reconnect.
That's hilarious. So
it was just, you know, everything suddenly just like lightning rod. Everything started to take off. But I still had the problem of the filmmakers not getting it, afraid to step out of the box. And so for a while, that was the issue. And our library grew very slowly. We sort of sat at around 300 or 400 films for a while. And then filmmakers started to cross over. You know, now that was 2005. Suddenly 2008, the iPhone came out and Netflix started streaming. And people weren't so worried about piracy and download to own and progressive download. And technology started changing. And this was right before, of course, the economy went into the toilet. But it was really interesting how filmmakers started to come aboard. So there was a shift, but they still had this sense of entitlement. And I understood where it came from, so it was easy for me to manage. But they were like, okay, I've put my film on your site. I'm ready. The whole world can watch it now. Where's my money?
Right.
It's like, well, it's not the Field of Dreams, guys. You can't just, like, build it and they will come. We have to market it. We have to give it story and context. We have to use Facebook didn't really, you know, everyone was on MySpace then. And Twitter was around, I think. And people were like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want people to know my business. It's like, well, you have to do that or they're not going to know about your movie. And so, you know, there was this big learning curve, which, you know, takes time to teach people and for us to learn. So it was
Sheila,
really
we're gonna take a break, but we want to, okay. This is an incredible story. And it's encouraging, I know, a lot of our listeners. Let's take a break, and then we'll jump right into how you went about marketing the film.
Okay.
You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
And we're back. We are with Sheila Andreen of IndieFlix.com. This is an amazing story, guys. If you're just tuning in, if you're in the car and you just tuned into the radio, stay tuned right now because Sheila's telling us all about IndieFlix, their humble beginnings, the heart to create a platform for indie filmmakers, not just to get their movies out there, but to actually make money on them. And we're just in the point right now, the story, Sheila, where we left off, where you were telling us how the word was getting out now about the filmmakers' films being on IndieFlix.
Yeah, well, now filmmakers were starting to sign up, and people were starting to come and buy DVDs, and it was getting excited. And, of course, you know, as you grow, which I'm learning this as we go, right? Remember, I left NYU my sophomore year because I fell in love with the director, and I never finished school. I'm not an MBA. I don't know how to use Excel. I do now a little bit. But I had to sort of learn how to raise money, PowerPoint, please. Everyone should know how to use PowerPoint. And now we were starting to really grow. And then it became an even bigger challenge to manage expectations. And I have to tell you, I kept just trying to explain things to people and be a teacher, which I am not a teacher. What I found, you know, when you get tired, you let your hair down and you just be you. And, you know, all the time everyone goes, oh, just go out there and be you. Well, usually you're so rested and on and prepped and ready, you don't know how to be you. I got so tired and so working so hard and everything was growing so fast, I just got to be me. And I started to just tell the story. I started to go on panels at different, you know, festivals. And I would sit there and I would listen to my competitors and other platforms talk about the industry and they were all experts, everyone was making money, and I'm sitting there thinking, we're not making money, and our filmmakers aren't. I mean, they make a little, but not enough to even go out to dinner once a week. And so I would share that in the panels just because I was frustrated, and I was tired, and I had not tired of doing what I was doing, but just tired of working 18 and 19-hour days. And that truth resonated with people, and I will tell you, that was validation for me to be me and to be honest and not to be afraid, because I wasn't fitting in anyway. I had a model that didn't make sense. People would say, wait a minute, you're building a library of films where people can leave whenever they want. They just have to give you written notice in 30 days they can be gone. You're going to pay them the lion's share. You're going to show them all the reporting. You're going to tell them, you know, you're going to share data with them. I can't share, you know, like who's watching, because that's against our privacy policy, but I can say you had this kind of traffic or whatever. And they just thought that was ridiculous. And they literally did sort of pat me on the head and scoot me out the door and say, good luck, and thought I was crazy. And so, but of course, now I'm on panels and they're like, wow, you had such, you know, like so much, you were so forward thinking. You were so on the fringe, and good for you. And now I'm a disruptor, which sounds so negative. And I don't think of us as disruptive. I did a big meet and greet with all the press, and I was talking to Reuters and Bloomberg and all these people. They're like, wow, you're such a disruptor. You're disrupting Hollywood. You're going to unravel Hollywood. And I just thought, no, I don't think of it like that.
Right.
There was no room on the playground for us to play with Hollywood. So we created our own game during recess on the playground. But our game is just so much more fun, and more people can play, and the rules are so much easier that now Hollywood wants to come play our game.
Well, but what impressed me when I first heard your story is that not only is your game more fun, but you built your game with the people who were involved in it first, and the money followed the people rather than the people getting crunched into the business model at the expense of their talent and their gifting and their passion and their ability and, in some cases, their livelihood.
Yeah, and that's the beauty, is when you include people and it's a collaborative environment, you grow so much more efficiently.
Right.
And, you know, there are always going to be people who have a different idea or are disgruntled, but you start to see people are allowed to share, and you see the masses and what they're saying. When there's a commonality, then it just guides you. And it just is so much, it helps decision-making just be a breeze.
Yeah. Well, what's so interesting, the other thing that's so interesting, typically we're talking to business leaders who are all about the culture that they built with their firm, and their firm means their employees. In your case, the culture that you built is not just your employees, it's all of your vendors and providers and, you know, the filmmakers who participate and your customers. And it's not just about transparency among employees, where you have an open door policy and you can come in and talk to the boss and say whatever you think. It's about, you have that kind of communication and those kind of values with everybody that you talk to, including the press and the media. And it's just got to be startling to folks to experience that.
It's pretty cool. I mean, what's wonderful is, I mean, and you know, everything kind of comes out of necessity. Our marketing strategy is incredibly inclusive and reinvests in our own ecosystem and in our industry, as opposed to throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars into, you know, ads on the internet. We actually pay pretty significant bounties to schools, cast within films, filmmakers, film festivals. If they bring a subscriber to IndieFlix, they get a $12 bounty to bring an annual subscriber in, which is normally $69 a year.
Yeah.
But they get to offer it at $49 a year, and they get $12. As far as a monthly, it's $6.99 a month, and you the user with the code can offer it 1 month free, and they get $5 as a bounty for every monthly subscriber they bring in. Of course, you know, we have to wait 90 days before it pays out. Pay quarterly because of chargebacks or refunds or whatever, but that's all that's required. And we offer that to everyone. And I have to tell you, like, the schools and the festivals love it because they have a database. And for the schools, the royalties, you know, those bounties go back to support the film program. but the students themselves will say, you know, hey, mom, dad, whatever, join, and I get, you're supporting me as well, not just my film, but you're directly supporting me.
Right.
And plus they get the RPM minutes, the royalty pool minutes. So there's the royalty, and then there's the affiliate bounty, and the film festivals that always need ongoing revenue year-round, which we couldn't exist without the film festivals. And film festivals, by the way, those theaters are packed. You go to any given, you know, multiplex, even with the hangover in it, after the first weekend, it's right. half empty.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a passionate group of people who just love good movies. They like controversial movies. They like raw, real. They like to be surprised. And so they don't need to have big stars in them. They just want a good story. So it's an amazing space to be in and at an amazing time. And it's we're like a whole community. I will say also one of the things that sets us apart from our competitors, which we didn't plan, it just happened, but now we're very mindful of it, is that 93% of our libraries, we have worldwide rights. So we're building out like crazy. You know, I'm constantly raising money to build out apps so that we have access points so the whole world can access the library, which, of course, the library is growing like crazy. And, it'll be nice if you have an account and you go to Germany, you can watch in Germany. But also if you live in Germany and you want to watch and create an account in Germany and watch German films, we're doing that too. So we'll be making the site native to whatever country you're in. And that's exciting for me. The film community is global.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what seems to be most exciting, though, is you've created a model where everybody involved truly wins.
Yeah.
And it's so different than the typical capitalistic, the guys at the top win and everybody else pays for the privilege experience. And, you know, your model seems to be shaking up the industry so significantly that it's making other people think about, well, what about these values and, you know, why are they growing like they are? And should we be thinking about changing our traditional top-down, big budget, you know, everybody makes all the money that's at the top type of a model to a more win-win format? You know, you're actually causing people who would normally never ask those questions of themselves to ask those questions of themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like IndieFlix has become its own documentary that is causing people to ask questions that they would never ask.
Well, it's really funny. I'm actually, my blog's going to be launching probably tomorrow or the next day because I'm going to Cannes, and I'm on this, I'm on a panel there called the European Audio Visual Observatoire. And I had a couple people ask me, like, wow, how did you get on that panel? And I said, I think it's, I don't know. It's not that big a deal. It's a big panel. They go, well, it's a really big panel. And I said, I know there's like 350 people. And they said, no, it's the panel at Cannes.
Wow, like, that's great.
You're on the biggest panel at the most prestigious festival in the world.
Yep.
And I said, you're kidding. Like, oh, it's that big. And so, you know, and then they send me the little thing about all the stuff that I'm going to have to address and talk about, which I know all of it. You know, like, I talk about it in my sleep. I talk about it to anyone who will listen. And it's funny to be able to have the, you know, the privilege and the honor of being on a world stage or in rooms where I can share what we're doing, and actually people are going to listen after years of people just kind of thinking that we were a joke and not taking us seriously. I will say there have always been people who did take us seriously, but they were so few. But that's all you need, because they really, really cared, and they got it. And, you know, of course, now to have the accolades and the validation of the big players and the big people is really nice. But I'm also, and of course I want to play ball with them. You know, you get all excited. You're like, really? I get to play in your game now, and I'm not just laughed at?
Right.
But what's funny is I don't want to put a lot of Hollywood content on IndieFlix, because then it would just suck up all the minutes and all of the indies would not
right.
get their due. And so I have to be really careful and still have that same accountability and responsibility to just be independent movie.
Yeah, that's really
we could good. Go with a few Hollywood truly independent movies, but I can't just start putting famous Hollywood titles on there.
Exactly. We're going to go to a break, and I want to ask you how do you keep that balance in your own heart now that you are accepted and everybody loves it? My always thought is now tell them all to shove it.
I can tell by your laughter, Sheila, that thought has crossed your mind.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We have Sheila Andreen from IndieFlix.com. All right, Sheila. So that was the big question coming back in is once you started something that the big dogs made fun of and Patty Cake patted you on top of the head and now it's getting notoriety, you're going to be on a panel in Cannes, the largest, most prestigious film festival in the world today. My wife and I are avid watchers of Entourage when it was on, so that's how we learned about all these things, right? So,
yeah.
So how do you keep the manage your own heart to keep the focus and the vision of IndieFlix on Indie, and not just have the reaction of telling the big dogs to shove it now that they won in the game?
You know, I will say, I think it goes back to when I was a kid and I was bullied, and I mean, I was a Chinese girl. I'm half Chinese. And living in, at the time, Breckenridge, Colorado, and it was in an all-white community, and they hated me because I looked different. And they would, you know, push me to the snowbank, smash my lunch every day, you know, rip up my report card so I couldn't get it signed by my parents. And, I mean, it was brutal bullying. But I have to say, I always felt like, gosh, if only they could get to know me, they would see I'm not so bad. And that's probably the reason why they treat me so poorly is because they just don't know me. And I was really, I don't know why I felt that way. That's just how I'm wired. And my dad used to say, well, if they treat you like that, they're not worth having as friends. So I wouldn't even waste your time on them. Well, they were the only kids in the whole county, you know, so we didn't have a lot of choice. But there's a compassion component in me that is just ingrained. And as I've gotten older and I have seen people change or come around or whatever, they didn't accept me or like what I was doing because it didn't make sense to them. So they kind of laughed at me. But now that they get it and they like it and they're on board, I think I feel even more responsible to be the best that I can be and not to act like they did.
Right.
But I will never forget the people who are there for me in the beginning, the people who stood by me and stood by the model and hung in there with me, you know, through all of this. Those are the people that I will honor the most. But I'm not going to, you know, I can't do it by, even though there are times where you're like, gosh, do you remember when you laughed your ass off at me and pushed me out the door? I can't do it. I just can't bring it up.
Right.
But I will sometimes say, well, you know, it finally happened. I would love, I think the greatest, it's not revenge, but the greatest way to respond to that is to just go make literally hundreds of millions of dollars. And for filmmakers, I don't want to read those headlines where one movie made $80 million, you know, in that quarter. I want to read that 500 films or 300 films made $80 million that quarter.
That's great.
And that's where, I mean, it's like, that's where we get our greatest sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, but when you see, when they look over at IndieFlix and they see that we're a $300 million a year company,
yeah,
or $500 million a year company, and the filmmakers are making that much money, and the affiliates are making money, and film festivals are thriving, and film schools are thriving, and people say at the end of the day, I want to grow up and be a filmmaker. And people say, good for you. You must be really creative. You must have some important stories to tell. How can I help you? How can I support you? Then that's a good day, you know, when we're teaching film and art in schools so that kids have an outlet, so they don't have to go out and get high and drink and, you know.
Right.
It's idealistic, I know, but we need to make some of these kinds of ambitions real.
Right.
Attainable.
So, Sheila, shifting gears a bit to your constituency, you know, that now that our listeners are listening to you, we found out that it's much bigger than, you know, the employees of IndieFlix. It's, you know, your employee population is all these independent filmmakers who are a combination of a customer and a partner. How do you transmit and impact these values and keep them alive as you get larger and you have, you know, you have more people? I mean, we live in a society where the most recent Gallup poll tells us that 70%+ of workers in North America are effectively disengaged in their jobs. I mean, they come to work just to get a check and then go do what they really want to do for fun after they get off. And all we hear from you is passion, passion, more passion. All we hear from the filmmakers that you are serving is passion, passion, more passion. And the number of your memberships and the growth of your memberships speaks to the fact that what we hear from your customers is passion, passion, and more passion. How do you do this? How do you keep it alive? What advice can you give to other entrepreneurs like yourself that could help them get on that bandwagon?
You know, it's funny. I don't know that I have like good answers. I know what works for us, and it seems to be scalable. Although we're really going through some major growing right now, so we'll it's still to be proven. But transparency is huge for me, and is a constant battle with in many ways, because so much of the world, the corporate world, is programmed to not be transparent. It's just how people are wired. So, you know, when I do things, even like working with Microsoft and Xbox, and, you know, it's like, well, I need data. I need data, 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 because I'm going to share it. I think it's really important that people have access to data so they can focus their energy. But that transparent aspect on every level, from telling people what we're doing, marketing, communication, royalties, reports, costs. If people know, they may not like it, but if they know, then I think you have a stronger model. And if there's a point that people know and they're all complaining and griping about it, then you know what? That's a great way to look at it, to say, is this a good thing that we're doing? Is this going to sustain us? Is this going to allow us to scale? And because, you know, the minute you get huge and big and great, you just have to get 10 times that, right?
Yeah.
I get that part. So I actually love, there's transparency is a double-edged sword. I mean, it hurts in some ways, too. But that hurt can be turned into success as well. And so community and transparency, it's big. It's funny. I met the president of Duncan Hines at Sundance, and I was, you know, like, curious why he was there. And he was, you know, he loves movies, and we were just talking. And, you know, even big brands, they want a face. They want a personality. They want to be integrated into, they want to be part of other aspects of our lives. And so I think even the major corporate brands are also working at being transparent. How can they be transparent? I think Netflix is a great example of, Reed Hastings has been very transparent. I've been on a panel with him and met him a couple times. And you know, I mean, it's just so interesting. We all get to sort of weigh in and have our opinions and say, well, God, if it were me, I'd do this. I love those conversations. I love hearing what people would think. But I think it's important for the corporations to also divulge as much as they can, you know, with some corporate responsibility as well.
Well, I think what I just heard, and we'll, you know, we're definitely going to quote you and tweet you on this because it's very valuable and so many business leaders can learn from it. In your list of questions that you ask yourself that just kind of came out of your heart when we asked the question, question number one was, is this a good thing that we're doing? Before scalability, before profitability, before anything else, the core question was, is this a good thing that we're doing? And what I hear you saying is that that basic core question of, is this a good thing that we're doing, has kind of been the foundation of everything that you've done. And if you're going to give advice to somebody of what's really made you work or really made IndieFlex work, I mean, that core value of, is this a good thing that we're doing that is transitioned into community and into transparency, you know, is just a huge opportunity for any business that wants to have the kind of, you know, not just financial success, but the success of knowing that you're truly making a difference for good things in people's lives.
Yeah, and I think being transparent, you know, you invite a lot of comments. You invite a lot of people, and they are all opinionated. You know, when I dropped DVD, which I did before Netflix, you know, I got a lot of flack for that. People were like, oh, I thought you were for the little guy. I thought you really wanted to help filmmakers, and now you're dropping DVD. And I just said, look, the ROI is it's not there. There's just, I can't afford it. Eating up all the time in the company, and we're not growing. I have to do it for business reasons. And I gave the recommendations of other places they could go, and I was happy to transfer the files and do the work for them. But there were still a lot of people who were disgruntled because no one wants to deliver DVD anymore. And, you know, so you take a beating, you know, with this. But at the end of the day, you heal much more quickly, and you get back on track better. And it's just, it's the way to go, in my opinion. It's the only way to go. And it keeps people honest, the consumer and the corporation.
That is amazing. It's horrible that great stories go too fast because we're out of time.
It's always good to leave people wanting.
We got to have you back again, Sheila.
It is. Sheila, thank you. We will schedule to get you back on the show again. Everybody, check out Finding Kind. That coming up Mother's Day weekend, going to run for free on IndieFlix.com
for two weeks,
and we're out of town. I literally have to cut us off right now. Thank you, Sheila. We love
you.
Thank you,
guys.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, everybody.
Okay.
Adios.
Thank you. Bye.